Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to Toon Jam. I am Matt.
And I'm J-Man.
And today we are talking all about Monster Beach. Oh boy, the monsters are back. I added that last bit. That's not the name. Well, let me tell you a bit about it before we get overly excited. Monster Beach is an Australian television series created by Bruce Kane, Maurice Argiro, who also created Kitty Is Not a Cat, and Patrick Crawley, which first premiered as a 70-minute TV special on Cartoon Network on the 31st of October 2014, and was then later commissioned as a full series airing in 2020, originally produced by the company's Bogan Entertainment Studio Solutions, later Studio Moshi, and Fragrant Gumtree Entertainment in association with Cartoon Network Asia Pacific. It's the second locally animated production to be commissioned by the channel after Exchange Student Zero. Maybe there's a few fans out there of Exchange Student Zero.
hands up now.
Just to call out to you guys. It was released on DVD on the 1st of June 2016 from Madman Entertainment. In 2017, a series was greenlit by Cartoon Network for a 52-episode TV series consisting of 11-minute episodes. Pilot episode based on the television film itself was announced but never released. Ooh. The series started airing on Cartoon Network Australia on the 11th of April 2020 and won Best Animated TV Programme at the 2020 Content Asia Awards. So there you go, bit of information. So there are in total 48 episodes released as a series in 2020, and you know, is still ongoing as far as anyone knows, as far as I'm aware, as far as this one dog's aware. But yeah, so it started as like a TV Cartoon Network film sort of thing, which is a weird one. Not a usual way of going in, but
no,
hey,
I didn't realize that was still happening. Like, you could do that. That's quite cool.
Yeah, that's, it's pretty interesting. Possibly our first, I don't think it's our first Australian cartoon. I'm sure we've done one before. I can't remember what it was. Apologies. But something in my mind tells me that we have done one before. But this is like the first one that's not been aired outside of sort of, you know, Australia, Asia area. No Western, like really Western, basically not the States or over here and in Europe.
Yeah.
So yeah, interesting.
Pretty exclusive to those guys. Yeah.
Which as well is interesting because obviously the cast is American. Watching it, you wouldn't know.
No, not at all.
You'd think it was just another Cartoon Network. It doesn't say Cartoon Network Australia anywhere. It just says Cartoon Network. Or it says it all over it, actually. It's quite heavily branded, even for a Cartoon Network show. But yeah, so interesting stuff. Had you heard of this before?
No, I hadn't, actually. Like, I'm guessing because, you know, because we're not in Australia, nobody's, it's not really doing the rounds, it seems, which is weird. Like, I would have thought that, you know, all the arms of Cartoon Network would be just a case of, like, you guys make the shows and then we push it out through the main thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's odd that they're just released in patches in their specific regions.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if it's done, you know, it's quite successful. Like, it's won an award.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's quite unique.
Mm.
And it's, you know.
Looks like it's, well, seems like it's got a big appeal, doesn't it? Like.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, interesting, and quite different.
Yeah.
So obviously, like I say, it's award winning, but let's look at the internet ratings. Unfortunately, there is nothing on Rotten Tomatoes. As probably about 50% of the time.
Yeah, that's true.
More that seems to be the case. Animation is criminally underserved by Rotten Tomatoes, I would say. However, our good old reliable IMDb still serving us. So let's play Guess the Rating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so obviously we've only got IMDb. I'm going to tell you, it's out of 41 reviews.
Ooh.
One of them is a critic review. The rest, all users of IMDb. So
because it's got such a short, a small thing, I'm going to say, I'm going to go with 8.1, pretty high, because...
Yeah,
you know, just trying to scientifically come up with a rating.
Trying to work that one out.
Yes.
I can tell you that you are in fact,
mm-hmm.
in fact, incorrect.
Oh.
It's 7.4.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Oh.
Which is going to be my new line going forward. And all the ratings I get wrong.
Yeah.
Listen out for my new catchphrase.
You know, that's still a reasonable score.
Yeah, no, that's high as well.
You know, that's a good... That's a good mark of, like, yeah, this is, it's good enough to give it a chance at least.
Yeah, if you were scrolling through stuff and you were just looking at IMDb ratings and you're like, yeah, you see 7.4, you're like, yeah, all right, I'll give that a whirl.
I think, like, 6 and above is pretty positive.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, anything above, like, 6, you kind of get into a point where you're like, okay, it's not going to blow me away, but it's going to be reasonable.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I might be on the side that likes it. Sort of
Whereas, you know, anything below that is, you're hoping it's like a Marmite type thing.
Mm. Yeah, pure hope at that point.
Yeah. so there you go. Well rated, I would say, as far as the 41 users of IMDb are concerned.
Yeah.
But what about Twitter? Does Twitter know much about Monster Beach? Is it saying it much?
No, actually, Twitter doesn't really seem to kind of have a clue on Monster Beach. There's a few people that kind of know its existence, but are basically saying, I hope it comes to here, like the US mainly, saying, I hope they push it out over here. So there's not a lot of chatter about it. Heads up, if you do search just Monster Beach on Twitter, you will get explicit imagery. It's another one of those, guys. Put your filters on if you don't want to see, you know, things that you
don't
can't
want to see.
You can't see. But yeah, we have got a couple from Twitter. We've got Malstralgan, who says, I'm starting to think some production studios give up after coming up with a winning idea. There's a cartoon called Monster Beach. Expletive amazing idea, right? Awful show, though.
Ooh. Sting.
I know.
Yeah, so that's an interesting one. So essentially, great concept.
Yeah.
But they weren't happy with the outcome.
Poor execution, as far as they're concerned. But then we have Feli026, who says, Monster Beach is now in my top three favourite TV shows / movies from Cartoon Network. Don't at me.
Well, we've gone one step further there.
Yeah.
We've mentioned you.
We've quoted you.
Yeah, sorry.
Heads up
just to you.
Yeah,
Jay, we're probably going to get an annoyed reply from that.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
But, you know, that's how we go here at Toon Jam.
That's it. So, fearless when it comes to Twitter reviews.
But there you go. You know, that's the opposite. That's a really like sterling review.
Yeah.
So, you know, fair play on that one. Sorry if you're annoyed that we mentioned you, but there you go.
Yeah.
Nice to hear a good thing.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think so Twitter is basically right in the middle of that with someone going, nah, and someone going, yeah, that's pretty good.
Don't at them.
No, don't at them. Don't at them.
Please. And is that all of the quotes we've got?
That's all other than you know, expletive images that I wish I'd have filtered out. And then there's a lot of production staff that seem to be dropping either, you know, like little bits of scripts or showing how it was made, or there's some like background art and stuff like that. So if you do like that type of stuff, it is about on Twitter, you'll find some of the guys who worked on the show clearly proud of their work. So
yeah,
always good.
Which is always a good sign, I suppose, at least.
Yeah.
That means that they care, which is, you know, doesn't always seem the way when you watch these shows. More often than not, it does. But, you know, if you've watched, I don't know, I think of something terrible we watched in the last few, I don't know, Crossing Swords.
Yeah.
Say no more. Say no more. but, yeah, okay. Well, you know, very 50-50 split there. Obviously, we've only got two quotes on the whole of the internet.
Yeah, so basically less than 50 people overall for the reviews on Monster Beach.
So let's join in the small crowd and let's see if we can pump it up a bit.
Yeah,
an interesting one. First thing, I kind of noticed is that it's got this sort of, which is fine for a Cartoon Network show because obviously, it's part of the same thing, but it's got a very Hanna-Barbera feel to it.
Yeah.
Art style is almost spot on Scooby-Doo. With some modern altercations. It's more just some of the monsters and styles are very Scooby-Doo. Which is, you know, it's quite, like I say, it's not, you're not like, oh, what a rip-off, because at the end of the day, Cartoon Network is Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I think it's got quite an interesting sort of art style kind of mix, because you do have like a lot of the characters, like you say, they've definitely got like, you know, legacy stuff in there. But then there's definitely elements where some of them are very more sort of like a graphic design kind of aspect, almost like lots of silhouettes and outlines and stuff that are kind of cool. And then the actual environment design, I thought, was quite good as well. Bits of the beach and stuff, it's like, that's like a spooky cave and a like spooky hands as like rock faces and stuff. And it was like, oh, okay, that's quite cool.
And, you know, for saying it's taken them, what was it, something like 5 or 6 years to get off the ground?
Yeah.
With the story, it feels like it's very on trend now as well, like almost that long period getting off the floor actually I feel might help them. You guys know the 30-year theory.
Oh boy,
come on. Come on. I don't need to explain, but I will for anyone new listening. Every 30 years, fashion is a wheel, guys. 30 years, it comes back round. So, obviously, Scooby-Doo's very late 60s, but 60s nonetheless. So, and monsters were big in the 60s. Then you got to think 30 years, the 90s, 30 years again. Hello, the 2020s. That's right now. So, yeah, monsters, which we've been excited for a long time, have got to make a comeback.
Yeah.
In fact, they are making a comeback. Once again, you know what? Just I'm being proved correct once again.
Every 30 years, they just prove him right.
They just keep going. But yeah, I mean, we've got, we were looking at sort of things upcoming, and there was a few monster things. The only one I really remember because it made us laugh was Monster in My Pocket.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's coming back, guys. You remember the old one from Halloween a few years ago when we gave it a very negative review. Hopefully the new one's got more, but this, so you know, it's a good time to have this back essentially. And it's got, you know, the look and feel, it's got, it's so colorful as well.
Oh yeah, it's really vibrant,
the and it's something that is something that I remember really being into monsters as a kid. They were dead, I don't know, just the coolest thing. And there's a certain, you know, like kids monster stuff, it definitely goes away for a bit and comes back. And there's something hard to, like, it's hard to do in a way, because you've got to make something that's, you know, got all these, it's not scary, but it's got to have all the scary tropes whilst also not being scary at all and being fun and exciting and colourful, and but have a hint of that spookiness to it. It's got to be spooky, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got to be spooky. I mean, I don't think that enjoyment of that ever left me. Like, I'm still very much enjoy monsters and stuff like that. And so when you see something that does it really well, you can really appreciate it, especially as an adult, like seeing all the iterations it's gone through and stuff. So,
and that's what, and I think going back to sort of the first tweet where it's like, this was such a good idea, it's taken sort of two opposites, really. Like, it's like monsters, you know, you associate them with dark, gloomy, spooky atmosphere, and then you're putting them in the exact opposite.
Yeah.
So it's on the beach.
That's it.
So it's, you know,
times.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I would agree with it in the sense that it's got a really cool concept. And essentially it's just a group of monsters it's on an island, isn't it? A spooky monster island. And then a couple of kids and their adventures.
Yeah.
And you've kind of got, I mean, the monsters that we saw in this episode, there's like a surfer who is red. I'm not really sure what he was supposed to be, actually.
He's like some sort of ogre or like troll like thing.
Essentially looks like someone from a Hanna-Barbera cartoon that is a monster. Yeah. Then you've got a werewolf, and then you've got sort of a Bride of Frankenstein type character. And I'm sure there's more, you know, throughout. But yeah, it's a really cool, it's cool themes, and the art style is really nice. The story, I mean, what did you kind of make of it?
This one felt like we were a few episodes in, almost. Like, it felt like it was a, you know, jump in whatever sort of kind of episode.
Which I suppose is kind of a thing, because there was a movie.
Yeah.
That means there was probably quite a lot of preamble that we missed out on.
Yeah. And so it did feel like there was, it didn't really feel like an introduction, but at the same time, like by the end of the episode, like it was you didn't feel like you needed really anything else. So I think you got in as much information as you needed to enjoy that episode. And in fact, like the bits that I didn't fully understand just became like interesting. Just the idea that there were people from outside of Monster Beach that travel through it like quite frequently, apparently. I was like, oh, that's quite cool. I wonder if we get to see more of the, I think they're called like the North Siders or something, like, you know, coming in I did quite like that. What did you think story-wise?
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast. And up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I did feel it felt a little bit flat. I was quite bored throughout. Like, it was cool seeing things and, you know, like the actual world itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the expansion of the concept, I guess. But the characters weren't really doing much for me. And the story, I mean, it didn't have to be a great story. That, you know, it was it's the old, so like basically her body detaches and goes on its own adventure and they're trying to find it. That's the sort of bare bones of it.
Yeah.
But I just didn't feel like anyone really stood out as, you know, it wasn't very funny. It was just a bit like, there was nothing new to it, I felt like. And it did feel a bit, you've got all this great stuff and it's a little bit wasted. Like other than her body running away.
Yeah.
They didn't really even capitalize on the whole fact that the monster stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There was no real, there was no jokes involving it. There was nothing to sort of, nothing played on. The werewolf worked at a petrol station. There was nothing, or, you know, a gas station in America, I guess. But, you know, the surfer guy, I don't even know what monster he was.
No, I didn't. I still don't know.
It was just sort of like some sort of, you know, like a surfer guy.
Yeah.
And stuff like, it just kind of felt a bit like a premise wasted.
Yeah, I think that did. It was weird that it felt like that from the start of like, oh, we're just, this is kind of what we do. Like, this is kind of just menial adventure type thing. Because, yeah, there wasn't really much as far as story goes. But, I mean, like, I think it's I got the impression it was a case of like, you know, maybe you'll get more the more you watch type thing. Because, yeah, even the character introductions were pretty much non-existent as well. Like, people just kind of joined the troop, didn't they? And then it was like, right, we're off now. And okay, cool.
Like, yes. I do kind of get that, like I said before, there is the film beforehand. Mm. But, you know, as a kid, you end up just watching stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Really. And at the end of the day, like, they're still pushing them out through channels at this point.
Mm.
Cartoon Network is a channel. It's not a streaming service. Though stuff theirs will be on streaming services, it's still being run as a channel, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you kind of want some sort of, you know,
intro, don't you?
Yeah.
Even like, you know, we've seen it multiple times where it's like, you could do it in the theme tune if you really wanted to.
Yeah,
Just catch everyone up on what the deal is.
Yeah, this would be perfect for a you know, some sort of introductory theme tune.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, even if you just saw it, just saw the characters do something. Mm. But, you know, we've watched so many cartoons. Mm. And we've watched so many where they don't explain stuff, but you still get enough of an idea.
Mm.
You should at least know what all the monsters are, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, coming back to theme song, that was pretty lacking as far as...
Yeah, I can't even remember it, to be honest.
No, it wasn't very long either. It was almost like unnecessary. Like they could have just done with a title card, really.
Yeah.
Which is upsetting because they could have gone so spooky with it. And I feel like they didn't even lean into like beach mode as much as they possibly did. Like it wasn't even like 110% surf time. It was just kind of like halfway.
There was barely any beach on it, really.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
At least in this episode. But I mean, you wouldn't want beach every episode.
No.
And they're only 10 minutes. So I guess you got to think as well, usually if it was playing normally, I don't know if they still do it this way, even like on the actual channels. Mm. But they'd probably play two.
Yeah.
So you get more of an idea in that sense.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, what about
the weird one to drop first as well? If it's
What about the humor and stuff? Did you find it funny?
I mean, I sort of like got the jokes, I think, but I wasn't ever laughing out loud, really. Like,
make a younger audience laugh?
Maybe. I mean, it seemed to lean into more of that type of stuff, I guess, because it was just kind of silly humor, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
I mean, like I think a lot of the what they were trying to go for in this episode was that we've got these like typical valley girls or whatever, and they're just not really paying attention to what's going on, and so like anything can kind of happen, and they're glued to their phones or whatever, or just too dumb to kind of realize anything's going on. Which, you know, you've probably seen like a million times at this point anyway.
Yeah.
So not particularly original, but I did, you know, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. Like,
yeah.
But I wasn't like, you know, having stomach pains from laughing, like just buckling over from, you know, joy. Yeah. it was very much just like, oh, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
No.
And what about the human characters? Did you feel that they were a nice addition? Did you feel like you got to know them at all?
No, not really. I think that's where it fell through. Like even with the monsters, like maybe you'll learn about them more going forward, but it was weird to have those two elements where the humans have kind of come from outside and they're now visiting, they're like tourists and they're, you know, they're coming to do a very touristy thing. And then you've got these other two, which are like, what, do they live here? Are they, you know, are they part of the island? Like, I don't really, that was definitely an element where it was like, I could do with some more information here just to make like, you know, marry what's going on with, you know, what can happen. Because that it didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, with the content of the episode, you're not like, you don't need like a beautiful mind situation to try and figure it out. It's like, okay, they're friends with the monsters, cool. But again, from a kid's perspective, you're like, well, what's the deal? Like that, you know, that's probably pretty confusing. Well, like, how did you feel?
This is the first episode. And I don't feel like I came out of it knowing any of the characters.
No.
Like, the only thing I know is that one of them has a body that can run away.
Mm. Yeah.
But otherwise, I really don't know anything about these characters.
Yeah.
Or very little. Like, you know, even if you know something, so say like the surfer dude is pretty obviously a surfer dude, but we don't know what he is.
No.
The kids, you know, they're reliable, helpful kids, but what are they, you know, why are they there?
Yeah.
Basically it's just a struggle to understand who these characters are after the first episode.
Mm.
And maybe it's a lot to ask to have, you know, all the characters by the end of a 10-minute episode. But it's been done before, and
there's ways to do it.
Yeah, and if you knew even just the, like we say, the two kids, that's an important one, I think. If you knew them by the end of the episode, you know, the others, the monsters, you can get away with it, because as long as you know something about that. See, you know, how just having it so that, oh yeah, I know that body can run away is enough to know about that one monster for that episode.
Yeah.
But you need to know something about the others.
Mm.
So yeah, I was a bit, I wasn't really, you know, I couldn't commit after one episode to it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was my struggle. So, all right. Well, we've discussed it a bit. Let's move on. Let's do our final reviews.
I was surfing on the beach late one night, riding my board and hanging tight.
A big red dude was surfing away. Then suddenly, from a watery grave,
he did a splash. He did a monster splash.
The waves did crash at the boogie board bash.
It was a smash. I had a salty mustache.
I got some rash. He got a gnarly rash.
Ow.
Red dude, ow.
You got a salty mustache.
Okay, so here at Toon Jam, we have a 3-point rating system that goes as follows. Thumbs up, Monster Splash.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thumbs down, a gnarly rash. And shaky middle, a salty moustache. So good, bad, you know, in the middle. You know, you got a salty moustache. Yeah. You can taste you know, if you lick it, oh, yeah, it's a bit salty. It's quite nice.
Yeah.
But then after a while, you're like, I want that to go away.
Yeah.
In the middle.
I don't need salt on demand all day, every day.
But if you were eating some chips, it might help.
Yeah.
Or fries.
Yeah. If you have a sodium deficiency, you're probably like, this is, you know, this is perfect.
Exactly. So there you go. Yeah. You know, I don't really need to explain it, but there's a really over-explained version of it. Right? So, Monster Beach, your thoughts?
Monster Beach. I mean, I think just the concept alone has the appeal to kind of draw me in there. From the start, even though the theme tune was lackluster and not long enough for me to, you know, bop my head to really, I did like the look of it. I did really like the art style, the character design, the environment design. I did like the way that the show looked. As far as otherwise, audio wise, it was good. I think the voice acting and stuff was decent. Like they fit the characters well. But you know, then there was a lot of questions. Did have a lot of questions. But I really wanted to see more of the beach and the kind of monster, the spooky side of things, you know. Whereas this episode seems very kind of standard location wise, really. I mean, there was a quick jump to like a volcano or this, that, and the other, but it wasn't long and it wasn't enough to really explore those kind of like, you know, monster territories and really see kind of, you know, what they'd invented and what's kind of like a classic callback to something monstery before. So yeah, it left me feeling a bit wanting, really. You know, I want more of Monster Beach, and really I want more of the monsters, and I want to kind of know what's going on with the characters. And so there was a bit of an emptiness there. You know, it's almost as if our bodies had been removed and gone walkies, eh? Yeah, for me, I think it's going to be a solid shaky middle.
Oh boy.
So
shaky middle.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think that's fair. I think it's a shame really, because the art style is really, it's both really reminiscent of sort of the Hanna-Barbera, I want to say golden age, but it's, I don't know if it is really the golden age, because there was a lot of rubbish coming out of that era. You know, it's definitely probably the most iconic era of Hanna-Barbera art, I think. You know, when you think Hanna-Barbera, you think that sort of Scooby-Doo themed art, when really, I suppose, Hanna-Barbera's been going for ages. I mean, Tom and Jerry is Hanna-Barbera, Flintstones, And then you've got all the modern Cartoon Network stuff, technically Hanna-Barbera as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if I would call it the actual Golden Age, but it's definitely, you know, an iconic age. And you've got that art, especially with the monsters, you know, which for a lot of people, that's kind of, you know, the... It is, I suppose, the go-to monster cartoon is Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what you say, it's one of the biggest out there. And like you say, the backgrounds and stuff look amazing, really nice. And when you think this is, it's not, you know, this is the second ever Australian Cartoon Network cartoon.
Yeah.
And it's weird when you watch the ones that aren't from sort of the bigger company. And I can't think of many, but the one that springs to mind is Fat Dog Mendoza. They are quite different.
Yeah.
So it has that and it has appeal, but yeah, the not just the story, but mainly, I suppose, the characters, which are what carry these kind of shows, weren't really there. And that's such an important thing, especially for kids, you know, like who would you associate with watching this? You'd have to go solely on the look of it, which I'm sure many would. And it's different, you know, watching it. You might get a couple of episodes. And you'd probably give it a chance, I think, if you were into monsters and stuff anyway. Watch a few. And it's got potential to be better, definitely. But this one just didn't really capture that, which is a shame. And I think, yeah, this is like a textbook, shaky middle. With room for improvement, though. I do think...
Teacher's note.
Yes. Now, I do think with episodes, it could potentially be a thumbs up.
Yeah, I think
once
so.
Once they actually showed you who everyone was and you got that from the episodes, I think it would be good. So, yeah, you know, worth a shot, I would say.
Yeah.
And middle's not bad. It's just, you know, not top. Yeah. Another agreement from us.
Look at that.
At this rate, one of us might as well rock up.
Yeah, that's it.
We never disagree. We've not disagreed since Shenmue.
Oh.
How ridiculous is that?
Yeah. We're in sync now. We're in sync. This is it.
That's about 15 episodes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to watch something divisive and quick.
That's it. more of that dirty 80s stuff.
Yeah. Even that, though, it's got Stockholm Syndrome written all
over it. Yeah, yeah. I know, we're too synced up now. Do you know what I'm thinking? Do you know?
Yeah, you're thinking that I know what you're thinking.
Ah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I knew it.
It's true.
So there you go. Maybe you at home know what we're thinking as well. Maybe you agree. You're like, yeah, Monster Beach, there's an agreement. More likely, you've probably never seen it and you want to. Either way, let us know what you think. You can get in touch with us on the three sand rashes of the internet, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Toon Jam Pod. And if you want to listen to our old episodes covering many, many different cartoons, of course, you can find us over on YouTube as well. We've got our entire backlog on there. And just search for Toon Jam Pod. We'll be there. If you'd like some bonus episodes, you can find us on Patreon. And we also have a merchandise store where you can get all sorts of unique Toon Jam silly memorabilia. And that's bit.ly/ToonJamShop. Otherwise, all that's left to say is thank you so much for listening. And until next time, you stay spooky.
Hey everyone, thank you for listening. If you want to help the show keep going, you can be extra jammy by heading over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/ToonJamPod. Here you can get a shout out on the show or unlock bonus episodes. Ratings and reviews anywhere you listen to the podcast also really help us out. So thank you and stay jammy.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.